to the book of Psalms, chapter 146. Psalms 146. We've been studying the book of Psalms, and we've been talking about prayers for the Sundays that I've been preaching. Today we'll be talking something different, and it's about this. Have you ever noticed how often we hear or say the word hallelujah? It's common in songs, in prayers, even in passing greetings. But sometimes it's used so often that we forget its meaning. So for our benefit, let me tell you something that can help us to understand its meaning. If you read the CSB and the ESV version of the Bible side by side, you'll see that hallelujah simply means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. However, just this week, I greeted several people with hi and how are you? And the response I kept hearing was praise the Lord. So it got me thinking, what does praise the Lord really mean to most people? There's nothing wrong in responding with praise the Lord with someone who was asking, how are you? But has it become a habit to greet someone with this praise but not really meaningfully praising the Lord? Well, Psalms 146 will give us a guidance to this, about what it truly means to praise the Lord, so that the next time we greet someone with praise the Lord, it is spoken with a heartfelt praise. God's people are called to say praise the Lord or hallelujah, but with sincerity, with understanding, and with joy. So today, as we look into this psalm together, let's ask God to help us not just to say hallelujah or praise the Lord meaningless, but to live our lives praising the Lord meaningfully. In this psalm, I want us to learn the foundations of true praise. And that is, we praise the Lord because He is the faithful God who saves and reigns forever. That will be the main idea of our sermon today. Praise the Lord, for He is the faithful God who saves and reigns forever. And in Psalms 146, I divided it into three sections. And there are subcategories I entitled. Number one, praise the Lord. Praise is rooted in faith. That's the first one. Second, the Lord is worthy of praise. And third, the Lord reigns and will be praised forever. These are the three aspects of true praise, so that when we say hallelujah or praise the Lord, we know its right foundation. Praise is rooted in faith. The Lord is worthy of praise. The Lord reigns and will be praised forever. But before we dive into this passage, let me read the passage for us today, and then we'll pray together. Psalms 146. Hallelujah! My soul, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles, in a son of man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plants die. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. The Lord frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Zion, your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you might allow us to understand your word by means of your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. O Lord, help us to see your truth and believe them by faith. Help us to see how majestic your Son, Jesus Christ, is, so that we would exalt him and humble ourselves before you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A word that we can commonly hear in the church. Hallelujah is the first word that we can read in Psalms 146. Let's look through 1-5 of our passage. Hallelujah. My soul praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles, in a son of man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day his plants die. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In this passage, I want you to see that praise is rooted in faith. This psalm, Psalms 146, for our information, is the first of the final five book of psalms, often called the Hallel Psalms. In the Jewish traditions, these were sung during their festivals, especially when remembering how God rescued them from Egypt. They do it during the Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and other feasts that they do. Interestingly, each of these psalms begins and ends with the word hallelujah or praise the Lord. You can check that when you get back home. The last five chapters of Psalms begins and ends with the word hallelujah. It looks like the whole book of Psalms is building up to this great finale, to this great conclusion, to this great crescendo, momentum, to remind us that the destiny of God's people is to praise the Lord. Now look with me at verse 1. Here we see hallelujah not once but twice. He said, hallelujah, and then my soul praised the Lord. Another hallelujah. The first hallelujah is a call to God's people to join together in praising God. Then in response, the psalmist turns inward and say to himself, respond to that call. And he responds, my soul praise the Lord. In another translation, we can hear the psalmist saying to himself, let all that I am praise the Lord. So the call has become personal. It's like the responsive reading that we did a while ago, where the call goes out and the people respond. And so the psalmist responds to that call in praising the Lord. And then in verse 2, the psalmist makes a firm commitment. Look at verse 2. He said, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. This isn't praising God only in the convenient and good times of your life. It is a response to praising the Lord with your life, with all your life. It's a lifelong decision. And so for him, Praising God doesn't wait for perfect moment. It doesn't wait for Sunday. It doesn't wait for Bible study. It is incorporated in everything that he does. So when we read this, the psalmist is showing us that for him, praising God is a way of life. And like the psalmist, we're invited to respond to this call with our whole lives, praising the Lord. However, we live in a very busy world, don't we? The alarm clock rings, the race begins. Work, bills, family responsibilities. Our time feels very stretched thin. It is so stretched that we don't know where to fit our praising God, our praising of God. And so the psalmist in chapter 146 is teaching us that praise doesn't need a quiet hour or a perfect setting or a perfect condition of your heart. It begins from the heart that by faith fully resolves to turn to God even in the middle of everything. The psalmist wants us to respond to that call of praise not just once a week, not just in our devotion time, but every breathing moment of our life. We should give praise to God. The church, the psalmist is calling us in a life of praise. But the psalmist is also telling us that praising God genuinely all our lives is not that easy. Look at verse 3. He says, "Do not put your trust in nobles, in a son of man who cannot save." Why does he say that in the middle of praising God? Because he knows that sometimes it's easier to trust in what people can do, in what I can do, in what humans can do, rather than what God can do. And we've seen it a lot of times in the Bible. People trusting human military power, horses and chariots, like what we learned 2 Sundays ago, anything but God in times of their difficulties. And so the psalmist is teaching us one truth, that real praise is rooted from trust. It's rooted from faith. Praising the Lord all our lives isn't easy because it is always rooted in faith. Faith must be there. If you don't truly trust someone, your praise will just be a lip service. It might sound nice, but it's basically empty. Church, let me share a quick story that reminds us what I mean by saying these things. I once worked with a manager who often changes his car with luxurious ones. Mercedes-Benz, Range Rover, BMW, Camaro, you name it. He and this person was so kind enough to let me drive them every now and then when I was working with him. One day I would pick up Maricon at gem school with a sports car, another day with a Range Rover. Now, people who see me driving those cars might have praised me behind my back, thinking that I must be incredibly rich. But Maricon will not give me the same praise for those cars, because they weren't mine. She knew the truth. She could honestly praise me only for what truly belonged to me. She praises me for my sweetness, for my care and love, but she can never tell me you're so awesome because of those cars. And Brothers and sisters, this is the same thing when we praise the Lord. We cannot really say hallelujah to God if our hearts don't really think and don't really believe that God is the one who can solve our problem in the very moment we are in difficulties. You see, praising someone is always rooted in firm belief. That's why the psalmist tells himself to be careful in where he is placing his trust. Look at verse 4. He knows that humans may promise to save him, yet he knows that those promises aren't made to last because humans doesn't stay alive forever. If the human in whom he puts his hope dies, his plan dies with him. Now what happens to him who trusted humans? And I'm pertaining that humans must be himself. So the psalmist is warning himself not to trust himself, but to trust the Lord. If you trust anything but God, the psalmist is telling himself, you'll end frustrated. But look at verse 5. The psalmist reminds himself, happy is the one whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Church, the psalmist is encouraging us to trust God, whose help doesn't end, who keeps his promise, who saves those whom he loves. The psalmist reminds himself that the God he is praising is the faithful covenant-keeping God. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, and who unfailingly kept his promise. So church, if you will ask the Bible about the aspect of praise, first of all, it is rooted in faith, and faith in the right object. And who is that? No other than the God of Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of Christians. So let's deepen our trust in Him, our faith in Him, brothers and sisters. Because this call to praise the Lord are for you and for me, for the people of God. So the people of God must have a heart that fully trusts the Lord, who alone can save, even in the hard time, so that we can praise the Lord at all times, all the days of our lives. Church, praising the Lord isn't something that we can read only in Psalms 146. It's something that all throughout the pages of the Bible, it is being taught to God's people to enjoy God's goodness and to praise His name. If you look at many churches around the world, you'll see that praise is incorporated in what churches do, through singing, praying, and even dancing. It means that all throughout the Christian history, God's people understand that they have a calling to praise the Lord. But here's a deeper question. How do we respond to that call in praising God? Are we responding with the full trust and faith in the Lord? According to Psalms 146, praise should come from a heart full of faith, and it's entirely possible to engage in outward acts of praise, like singing, dancing, clapping, lifting hands, doing all sorts of things during the worship service, while the heart remains far from God. And the Bible warns us about this in Isaiah 29:13 and in Matthew 15:8. The Lord Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's a serious reminder. It's possible to sing. It's possible to clap, to raise our hands, and say hallelujah and still have hearts that aren't really connected to God. And so the question is, what should we do? Well, we should tell our hearts who the Lord is, just like what the psalmist did. He keeps on reminding himself, the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is. He reminds himself who the Lord is, so that our praise will not be a checklist, because that's not what God wants. Let me give you an example. I will not say to my wife like this, I know you like hearing that you're beautiful, so I'll say it to you just to keep you happy. You're beautiful. That isn't loving. That sounds like a duty. And if we do that towards the Lord, it's the same thing. I know that you like praise, so I'll just say hallelujah. It doesn't work that way. So church, let's increase our faith. And how does faith increase? Faith increases by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Hear and hear the Word of God. I know that the main meal for the church is the exposition of God's Word every Sunday. But each Christian has a responsibility to read the Bible by yourself, so that you would know who God is. And you can remind yourself, the Lord is my Redeemer. The Lord is my Maker. The Lord is my Helper. He's my Teacher. He's my Comforter. And therefore, we can praise the Lord, coming from a heart that fully trusts the Lord. We want to praise God because we're truly amazed. Amazed by who He is and what He has done. And that brings us to our second important aspect of praise. That God's people praise the Lord because they begin to see why He's worthy of praise. And that's from verses 6 to 9. Here, the psalmist gives reason why he should trust and praise God. Look at verse 6. Who is God? The maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. The Lord frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The psalmist declares these things about God according to what was revealed in the scripture. If you are the psalmist, don't you find this as reasons to praise the Lord? This is why the psalmist can firmly resolve to praise the Lord all his life. Because in contrast to trusting people or humans who die, he's trusting the God who is the source of life, the maker of heavens and earth. He can trust his maker. But more than that, God is also the Redeemer, who deeply cares for his people, for those who have faith in him. He reminds himself of who God is, and then he becomes aware of why the Lord is worthy of praise. Now, church, when we read these things about God, sometimes people around us, or even ourselves, might ask hard questions like, if God is really like this, so powerful, so caring, then why am I still struggling? Why does it feel like He's not helping me? Am I really blessed by trusting Jesus? Then why my situation hasn't changed at all? Can God really give me what I need? Can He bring justice? Can He heal my sickness? Can He lift my burdens? And church, these are honest questions. They are not wrong to ask. Even the psalmist himself, who praised God with all his heart, lived in a world that is full of pain and injustice. But here's the point. All these questions lead us to a deeper issue, and that is, how big is our view of God? How big is the Lord before our eyes? Do we see him as someone who can only be majestic when he works things according to our own ways? Or do we trust that he is who he is, according to what he has revealed about himself through his word? And we just don't see it that way. Church, sometimes life hurts. And when it does, it's hard to see clearly. C.S. Lewis once said, "You can't see anything properly with your eyes blurred with tears." And that's true. Pain can cloud our view of what God is doing. But that doesn't mean that he is not faithful and true to his word. I've sat with people in deep grief who've said, "You don't understand, you're not in my shoes." And they're right, suffering is real, and it feels contrary to that happiness that is being told in Psalms 146 verse 5. Happy is the one who trusts in the God of Jacob. But let me encourage you that even if we think that it doesn't make sense, the Bible makes sense. The Bible makes sense. Because the Bible doesn't hide that reality of pain. It doesn't hide the truth that suffering has entered the world through sin. But it also tells us something very beautiful. That God cares to those who believe in him. God cares. God knew. In Exodus 3:7, God says to Israel, who was praying hardly to him, crying out to him during the times of their troubles and slavery in Egypt, and God says, "I know their sufferings. I know their sufferings." He sees, he hears, he understands, and he knows exactly what kind of help his people need. You know, when you have a toothache, you don't want your doctor, your dentist, to give you a muscle cream. You need the right medicine. In the same way, God doesn't give us a shallow comfort. He gives us exactly what our souls need. The Psalms in 146 reminds himself what he needs to hear about God at the time when he is so tempted to trust in what humans can do. And here's the good news for us. While the psalmist looked forward to the fulfillment of these truths, we know that in our case, Jesus Christ has already fulfilled God's covenant promises. In Luke 4:18-19, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is in me. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery to the sight, of sight to the blind." And he did just that. We can read it in Matthew 11:5-6. Jesus told John's disciples, "The blind see, the lame walk, the sick are healed, the dead are raised, and the poor hear good news. Blessed is the one who isn't offended by me." Brothers and sisters, are you offended by your situation? Are you offended when people mock your faith because of Jesus Christ? Because the psalmist will tell you, you cannot. He had longed to see the fulfillment of these promises that we have in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, the true knowledge of the Lord, the Holy Spirit dwelling among his people, eternal life in His presence and more. Isn't that a great reason to truly praise the Lord? That's why we sing on Sunday, and that's why we gather here. That's why we persevere even when things doesn't make sense. The Lord is worthy of our praise because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's take a moment to hear this gentle yet weighty reminder that the psalmist is giving to us in Psalms 146. Do I truly trust the Lord today? Do I remember who He is when life gets loud and complicated and painful? Or like the psalmist, you can talk to your own soul like this. How well do you know the Lord? Church, while we gather here today, I encourage you, know the Lord. Know Jesus Christ. Read your Bible and pray every day. We sing it during our childhood times. But that's a never, it's not getting old. It remains true. Even for today, read your Bible and pray every day. Know the Lord. Psalms 146 teaches us that He is worthy of praise. Yet we know how strong the destruction of this world, the deceptions of the devil, the struggles of our flesh. There are no shortages of voices telling us to stop praising the Lord. But here is the voice that rises above them all. The psalmist ends his song with that voice. The Lord reigns forever. And because of that, our praise has a place. It has eternal significance. So let this be one more reason for us to praise the Lord. The Lord reigns, and He will be praised forever. That's our last point. In verse 10, the psalmist says to himself, the Lord reigns forever. Zion, your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you a little story back in the Philippines that will make you smile. Back in 1928, Colgate arrived in the Philippines, and it became so popular that even when Pepsodent came along in the 1990s, people still walked into the stores and said, "Pabili nga po ng Colgate." In English, it says, "Can you give me Colgate?" while he or she is asking for Pepsodent. And the same thing happens with diapers. Pampers came into the country in 1970. And since then, many parents buy diapers, any brand. But they would say, "Can you give me Pampers?" We do the same thing with Hallelujah. We say it during songs, prayers, or after sermons. But let's say it with real understanding, with real joy, with real praise to the Lord. That's, the Bible is giving us one basic reason to praise the Lord. And here is it. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. You see, the psalmist begins this psalm with hallelujah, a declaration of praise, and then conclude with another hallelujah. And between these two hallelujahs is a song full of contrast. Human rulers fail, but the Lord reigns. That's one basic reason that God is giving us why we should praise Him. It's because He reigns. Human plans crumble, but the Lord remains faithful. At the very end, we see this final glorious contrast. The Lord is seated in His throne in Zion. The Lord reigns in Zion. He rules His people. And like human beings, He doesn't rule for a season. That every now and then you have to elect a new president or a new king. The Lord reigns for all generations. It means from the beginning of time until today and tomorrow until the coming of Jesus and forever and ever, the Lord reigns. He is seated on His throne. That means our praise doesn't sustain His reign. Instead, His reign sustains our praise. He will be exalted whether we lift our voices or not. But oh, what a joy to be counted among those who do. But not everyone wants to give praise to the Lord He deserves. That's been true since the beginning. But here's something incredible. The Bible reveals that even creation itself praises the Lord. Psalms 96 and Psalms 98 call the heavens to rejoice, the earth to be glad, even the sea and the trees to celebrate God's greatness. It's like the whole creation itself, the whole universe, is singing praises to the Lord. And this is what the Lord Jesus wanted His people to see when He entered Jerusalem. They were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But some of the Pharisees got upset. They don't want Jesus to be praised. They want to silence the crowd. But what did the Lord Jesus said to them? If they keep quiet, these stones will cry out. Even the rocks will praise Him if no one else did. So here's the question. Are we letting creation do what the church should be doing? Church, if you can think of any reason why the Lord is worthy of praise, remember that there's one basic reason why God deserves praise. He is the Lord who reigns and will be praised forever. If not by us, by the host of heavens, by the angelic beings, and the whole creation, they will glorify the Lord. And so, church, let's not be silent. Let's give the praises that belongs to the Lord because He is worthy. And if you are not a Christian, I want you to know that this last verse in Psalms 146 isn't just for believers. It's a message for you. If you've been holding back and believing this, thinking maybe God doesn't seem to be reigning today, let this verse be a gentle wake-up call. Do not wait. Don't reason away. The truth is the Lord reigns for all generations. He's not just that distant king in the heavens above. He is the Savior who came to His people and became a human being and suffered for their sins. And if He is seated on His throne right now, you better repent. Turn away from resisting Him and receive His offered salvation and forgiveness given through believing Jesus Christ. However, if you continue the hardness of your heart, know that He is coming back on the last day, not with forgiveness and redemption, but judgment. So better stop your rebellion and instead surrender to the King who is seated on His throne and who is reigning both yesterday, today, and forever. And church, once again, let this last verse be for us. We serve a God who rules with power, glory, honor. His throne is built on righteousness. Righteousness is the foundation of His throne. So why hold back your praise? Let your hallelujah rise, not out of habit, but out of a heart gripped by the truth of God's word. Sing to the Lord of glory, not just because it's Sunday, but because He is worthy of praise all the days of your life. Church, remember the reasons why we among all creation are called to praise the Lord. Not just with our lips, but with our lives. He's gifted us with that faith given by the Holy Spirit to understand that the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth, the redeemer of His people, who is faithful in His covenant promises, who reigns forever. He alone is worthy of all glory, honor, and power. Let's pray.